We're going to look at a story in Numbers. And the reason why I'm going back to Numbers, we've been reading through the first five books of the Bible. If this is your first time coming with us, we want to invite you to come back and join us again next Sunday and join us on the journey of reading through Scripture, because we believe that the Word of God is powerful, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and can pierce between the bone and the marrow, piercing the very heart so that God speaks to us. And so we believe that if you read the Bible, you'll hear God's voice. And so I want to go back, even though we're in Deuteronomy this week, I want to read a passage in Numbers. So if you would stand for the honor of reading God's word, Numbers chapter 21, starting in verse 4. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. I don't know if anybody would ever be impatient in life. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole or a standard or a banner. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, will live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Let's pray. Lord, give us eyes to look to the one and the only one who can save us. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today. I do realize there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of y'all have seen things like this go around through Facebook, or you've seen it pop up? You've seen an image or a picture that looks like this. And as we look at this picture, let me ask you, what do you see? Huh? What do you see? A young woman? I heard somebody say a young woman. I heard somebody say an old woman. So it depends on how your eyes focus on this picture, isn't it? If you look up and look higher, you typically will see possibly the young woman. If you look lower to the right corner, then you'll see the older woman. Have you ever been in a situation where you're looking at the same thing, but you're seeing two, but people are seeing it differently? Yeah. Huh? Has that ever happened to you before? I'm telling you, the children of Israel, when we read through the book of the Bible, when we're looking through the Old Testament, don't they read a lot like us? Huh? I mean, God's doing things for them. He's providing for them. He's caring for them. And then they just, they get God's goodness, and they're, "Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You've made my life a little easier." And then one thing happens that they don't like, and they start complaining. I don't know if anybody would do that today, but they did it back then. God was so gracious then. They had just won a battle. They had just defeated. And now they're having to go, God's taking them, marching them to a destination, but they have to go around Edom because the Edomites, Esau's descendants, won't let them pass through the land. And so they're having to go around. And it's taken them by the Red Sea. Now, if you read your Bible and you know anything about the Old Testament, the Red Sea, you would think might encourage the Hebrew people, wouldn't you? What happened at the Red Sea? God parted it. And as they were walking by the Red Sea, you'd think they'd be like, "God's got something else good in store for us, doesn't he? I mean, we just won a victory. Okay, we're going back by the Red Sea, but God, this is where we were reborn as a nation. This is where we crossed through on dry ground. This is where God showed up." But that's not what they did, did they? Now they got impatient. They wanted to get where God was taking them sooner than when God said you could go. How many of y'all pray a prayer and you want an answer immediately? Sometimes that prayer takes weeks. Sometimes that prayer takes months. Sometimes that prayer takes years. And do you complain and say, well, God's not hearing me. God doesn't care. He's not interested. Or do you look at it a little different? Do you focus on the greatness of God? Let me tell you this morning, what you look at will determine your destiny. Where you look will determine your eternity. So I will look to Jesus. Now they complained, they were grumbling, they were discouraged. Look at what they did. Look at in verse 5. And the people impatient on the way, so they spoke against God. So they were impatient, they spoke against God, they spoke against Moses. What'd you do? Are we just out here to die? You know, they're just doubting God's promise that he made to them. We don't have any food, we don't have any water, and besides the food that we're eating, we hate it. That's being an ungrateful, spoiled brat child. I don't know if we have any spoiled brats among us in today's culture. But, you know, God had been providing them food. God had been caring for them. God had been protecting them. And how ungrateful it was for them to complain and downgrade what God had provided. Can we not be ungrateful sometimes? Huh? We get so caught up in our own life's needs that we forget all the good things God's already done for us. Right? Now, for the majority of the people living here in America, now, not for everyone. Some people just, they start off and they've got a rough life from the get-go. That happens. But for the majority of people, we're born healthy. We can see, we can hear, we can walk, we can talk. There's all kinds of things that God blesses us with. And we get sick. Then what happens? Our whole world shuts down. And we go, why? Why? And we forget all the many things God's already done for us. I'm guilty of this. I don't thank God enough. What about you? I don't give him praise enough. I don't look to him enough. I don't give him the due glory that he's should be given enough. Why? Because every single day that I get to wake up and open up my eyes and breathe his air, he's given me a gift to live this glorious thing called life. And I need to be thankful for that. Whatever I've been given, I need to be thankful for that. Yeah, but they've got more. Yeah, but I've got what I need. He had given them what they needed, but they still weren't satisfied. What do you call grumbling, talking against God, complaining, griping? What do y'all call that? There's a theological word for this. We don't like to talk about it in our today's culture. It's a dirty word. It's a three-letter word. Sin. Sin. It's called sin. It's called sinning against God. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is? So God sent serpents. Vipers were thinking that he sent cobras and bit them, and the venomous poison released in their body brought death. How many of y'all realize the consequence of sin is death? And they're bitten. The sin of drugs, alcohol, greed, pleasure, sexual immorality, thievery, gossip, whatever you want to, is your sin of choice. It is a snake that bites you. and releases its poisonous venom of death. We've all been snake bit. You've been snake bit? We've all been snake bit. And when that snake bites and releases its poison in our bloodstream and in our body, it pollutes our mind and it begins to bring a stronghold of addiction over us and over our life. There's a spirit of maybe unworthiness that comes on us, helplessness, hopelessness, selfishness, pride. I don't know, but that venom gets in us and it just corrupts. And it destroys. Destroys relationships. Sin causes parents not to get along. Sin causes husbands and wives not to get along. Sin causes all the destruction that we see going on in our world today. It causes the all of the crises that we see. It's a result of the poison that's been released. I wish I knew somebody who had the power over Satan. Huh? Don't you wish you knew someone that might have the power to crush Satan on his head? Well, we got good news this morning, don't we? Because there is a man named Jesus who the Bible said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, said, yeah, he might bruise your heel. Satan might bruise your heel at the cross, but he's going to crush your head. Paul said the peace of God will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. Jesus has crushed the enemy. He has defeated the devil. And he is the one that brings salvation. Amen. Now, one good thing that the Israelites did during this situation, when they realized that they were dying, they repented. Right? Verse 7. And the people came to Moses and said, what? We have sinned. Now, the first step to recovery is to admit you've got a problem. They're dying. They've been bitten. They know they've sinned. They've talked against God. They've blasphemed his name. They've mocked him. They have disrespected him. They've been ungrateful. And you know what they said? We've sinned. You know what we need to do when we have sinned against God, when we've mocked him, when we've not been grateful, when we've lived life ways that he said not to live life, when we've done it our own way rather than his way? You know what you do when you realize you've got the poison running through your system and your life's falling apart and everything's broken and shattered? You know what you do? You fall to your knees, you look unto Jesus, and you say, I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. You call upon the name of the Lord. They went to Moses. They said, hey, could you pray for us? We've sinned against God. We've talked about him. We've talked about you. Would you pray for us? And then Moses intercedes. Oh, I wish we had an intercessor. Huh? I wish we had an intercessor that would stand in the gap for us. Who do you think that might be, church? It's Jesus. He is our mediator, our intercessor. He is the one that goes before us, and he is the one that makes the way. And he stands at the right hand of the Father, making intercession continually, Hebrews says, on our behalf. And Moses prays. Now, they deserved to die, didn't they? They had sinned against God. The wages of sin is what? They deserved to die. If we sin against God, we deserve death. And if people in our culture can't receive that today, it's because we have no understanding of respect for authority and God's holiness. That sinning against a holy God brings severe consequences. It brings death. But aren't you glad we serve a gracious God? One who comes to redeem us, to save us. And so God provides a solution. What was that solution? That he would make a bronze serpent and put it on a standard, put it on a pole. Now notice what he didn't tell them to do. He didn't tell them to go make their own ointment. Because you can't save yourself. He didn't tell them to go help each other. Because all of your good works to be a good citizen, that's not getting you into heaven. Winning the citizenship award in Montgomery County or wherever county you're in isn't getting you into heaven. Now, it's good to help do social works, but it's not going to save you. He didn't tell them to fight the serpents. Fight the serpent, you're not strong enough over the serpent. Your power is not strong enough. He didn't tell them to look to Moses. Well, I just don't want, you know, I know those preachers. Yeah. Yeah, there are those preachers. But God's not telling you to look to a preacher. He's telling you to look to Jesus. Tell them to look to Moses. He didn't tell them to ignore their wounds. What do you mean you've been snake bit? Just ignore it. There is no such thing as snake bites. There's no such thing as poison. You're good. Just because we deny something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Huh? You start denying a lump somewhere in your body, and you say, oh, it's really not there. No, it's really there. And you really go need to see a doctor. Right? Or it's going to be a really big problem. No, it's there. No, what did he tell him to do? He told Moses to make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole or put it on a standard. We just read a banner. The Lord is my banner. Jehovah Nissi. And put it on a pole and tell them to look at the serpent. Just look. Just look to the serpent. No charms could expel the poison of the blood. No decree or doctrine of reformation could cure them. No tears, no services, no worship, no prayers, no preaching, no nothing but one simple act. Look. Just look upon that serpent. No matter how loud you cried, how fast you danced, just look. Amen. Just look to the serpent. The remedy of the divine appointment was God sent forth his son. In John chapter 3, Jesus has an encounter with a very well-studied man by the name of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And they get in this discussion. He says, you must be born again, or you must be born from above. And he doesn't really understand the process. And Jesus goes on and discusses something with him. And he says this in John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Amen. Believe, looks to, whoever looks to Jesus, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. The bronze serpent. Interesting that he used the likeness of a serpent to bring healing, wasn't it? You know how you cure a true snake bite? Still to this day, it's anti-venom. And to make anti-venom, they take small doses of venom and they inject them into mostly it's horses. And they inject the venom slowly into the horses until a large dose gets built up into the horse, and then they extract the blood from the horse, and then they do their scientific thing to make the antidote to make the anti-venom. And if you get snake venom, you're actually putting the venom inside your body to attack the venom that is there. It's the anti-venom. It attacks itself. The brazen serpent becomes a deliverer in the likeness of the destroyer. Christ, a savior, comes in the likeness of a sinner. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Jesus became the anti-venom to our sin problem. He became the curse. He was sinless, but he became the curse for us. Romans 8:3, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, there's no obvious connection between the means and the result of the serpent on the cross. Why would looking at the serpent heal them? Why would looking to Jesus, who died 2,000 years ago, why would that have anything to do with me today? It seems foolishness to the world. It might seem foolishness to you. How could believing in what Jesus did save me? Well, he became sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. For God, John 3:16, so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, what? Believes in him will not perish but everlasting life. You don't have to have a doctrine in theology to understand that today. Just like I don't have to have a doctrine in medicine, I don't have to be a doctor to understand my blood pressure medicine. I just know I better take it. Here's what you need to know. I just need to look to Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. He rose from the grave so that I might be forgiven of my sin. If I look to him and keep my eyes focused on him, then that's what I need. You see, we look to the cross for the cure of our sin. And then on Easter morning, on Resurrection Sunday, on that Passover, when Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain from the foundation of the world, we look to the tomb and we see victory over death. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, man became a sinner by look. Genesis. When Eve saw that the fruit was good, man is saved and begins a life journey with Jesus by look. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am the Lord God and no one else. The Christian life continues through a look. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And at the end of our Christian life, it's still lived by a look. For our citizenship is in heaven, from where we look for a Savior who is coming, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this morning, here's the good news. We've all been snake bit. Well, that don't sound like good news. Well, the good news is that there's a solution. There's been one who has brought healing to you today. Amen. Jesus said, come all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know if there's anyone today that would say, Pastor, man, I have been bit. I am snake bit, and the poison of sin is running all through me, and it's destroying everything about my life. Some of you, it might look in complete brokenness. Some of it might be brokenness disguised as success. You may have everything that you've ever wanted. You may have achieved goals you never thought possible, but there's still emptiness inside your soul. But what I want you to know today, that it didn't matter how far back the person was that was looking at that bronze serpent. He didn't tell them how they had to get there, if they had to crawl, or if they had to run, or if they had whatever. He just said, just look. Amen. Just look. This morning, you just need to look to Jesus and be saved. And when you look to Jesus, oh, the Father will be there with arms wide open. And there will be a homecoming, and there will be a grace given, and there will be a welcoming of all those who have been snake bit, who have been diseased by sin, and the cure will be given. This morning, is there anyone who needs to look to Jesus? As we stand, as we sing, come home. Would you come home to Jesus, your maker, your creator, your God, your redeemer, your restorer? Would you just come home? He welcomes you. He welcomes you today. Would you come and be saved? Let's stand, let's pray, and we'll worship. Lord Jesus, this morning, may we look to you. You are our answer. You are our Savior. You are our Deliverer. And Lord, today, if there's someone here that just says, man, I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm lonely, I'm broken, Lord, would you just let them lift their eyes to you and trust in you? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship him today. Let's come and pray if you need to pray.